Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse. My name is Michael Moret. Today we begin a brand new book of the Bible. We are in the book of Acts, chapter 1, verse 1. And Father, we ask that you would add your blessing to every verse of this word, or of this book, and especially the verses that we will be reading today, in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Acts was written by Luke, the same man who wrote the Gospel of Luke. And we begin in verse 1. Luke writes, "In the first book, O Theophilus," and Theophilus is who this book was originally written to, both Luke and Acts. And he says, "In the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach. The Gospels only recorded the things that Jesus began to do. In the book of Acts, we will see Jesus continue his work through the Holy Spirit and through his church." And it says in verse 2, "Until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commandment through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen." Jesus gave instructions to the apostles during the 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension into heaven. He gave instructions to the apostles. And the New Testament contains those instructions. Jesus, by his Holy Spirit and through the apostles, wants to instruct us today also. And he still does. It happens when we study the New Testament, the words that Christ inspired his men to write. Verse 3. "To them, to his apostles, he presented himself alive after his passion, by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days, and speaking of the kingdom of God." 11 appearances of Jesus Christ after he was raised have been recorded in Scripture. There may have been many more than that, but those are the 11 that are recorded. Jesus, during the 40-day period before his ascension, spoke to his apostles about the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God that Jesus spoke to them about during those 40 days was the church age, which is called the mystery kingdom. His instructions included the purpose for the church age. He had to instruct them because they never saw it coming. They didn't know what it was about. He had to instruct them on the purpose of the church age, which was to preach salvation through Jesus Christ. Verse 4. "And while staying with them, he charged them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You heard from me.'" And Jesus didn't want his apostles to try to teach about the church, minister the word of God, until after they were indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Because if they try to do something on their own, they're going to probably mess it up for sure. So he says, just stay put, wait for the Holy Spirit to come, then you can go. Verse 5. "For John baptized with water, but before many days you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit." The baptism of the Holy Spirit cannot be felt like the baptism of water, because the baptism of the Holy Spirit occurs in the spiritual realm. When a person repents of their sin, makes Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, the Holy Spirit baptizes them, or another word for baptism is to place into. The Holy Spirit baptizes or places that repenting sinner into the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is another name for the universal church, which is made up of real Christians all over the world. So, when you repent and you ask Christ to save you and take over your life, the Holy Spirit, in a spiritual sense, baptizes you or places you into the body of Christ. Verse 6. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? Now, the kingdom of Jesus Christ is here right now in the souls of his people. Jesus said it. The kingdom of God is in your midst. It is within you. But one day, Jesus will be here on earth, and his rule will extend over all people. And the apostles wanted to know if that universal kingdom was going to happen right away. 7. He said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has fixed by his own authority. God does not like us to ask when. God's business is to determine when something will happen. Our business is to focus on living for him and then trust that he will do the right thing at the right time. 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria to the ends of the earth. In other words, Jesus is saying, don't try to figure out when I will return. That takes too much energy. Energy that should be used to live holy lives and help spread the kingdom of God before he does return. That's where the focus should be. Leave the when up to God. 9. And when he had said this, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And that cloud is symbolic of the presence of God throughout the Bible. You see it in the Old Testament. That is not an average, everyday vapor cloud. It is the Shekinah glory cloud, a visible representation of God himself. It is that cloud. It is the same cloud that led the Israelites through the wilderness to the promised land. It is the same cloud that entered into the holy tabernacle when it was completed. It is the presence of God. That is the thing that Jesus disappeared into when he ascended into heaven. I don't believe that Jesus had to travel, you know, past Saturn and Neptune and Pluto to get to heaven, wherever it is. When he hit that cloud, he reached heaven. He disappeared because he was there, wherever there is. 10. It says, and while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes. Two men, they looked like men, but they were angels. Two angels in white appear out of nowhere. And they are not named. The angels are seldom named in Scripture, because their identity really isn't important. They are servants of God. And they're servants to God. Their service to God is important. But, like us, that's all they are. Servants. Jesus is the only important one. And these angels speak of Jesus, not of themselves. So, they don't identify themselves. But notice verse 11. They said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. And so, Jesus is returning the same way he left. How did he leave? Well, he left visibly, and he left physically. So he will return visibly and physically. The Lord disappeared into the clouds when he left, and the Bible is clear. He will return in the clouds when he comes back. 12. Then they returned to Jerusalem from the mount called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day's journey away. The Jewish religious laws affected people in ways that really is hard for us to imagine. For example, the thing mentioned here, a Sabbath day's journey. That was less than a mile. And if you walked further than a Sabbath day's journey on the Sabbath day, you sinned. According to the religious leaders, you did. Verse 13. And when they had entered, they went up to the upper room where they were staying. Peter and John, James and Andrew and Philip and Thomas and Bartholomew and Matthew and James the son of Alphaeus and Simon the Zealot and Judas the son of James. This upper room likely was the place where the apostles had eaten the Last Supper with Jesus, and where Jesus appeared to them for two Sundays in a row after he was raised. It's where they all stayed. They were huddled together, about to do some church business. And they were praying. Verse 14, all these with one accord devoted themselves to prayer, together with the women, Mary the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. These brethren, as they were called, are not necessarily literal brothers of Christ. There was no word in that language for close relative. So everybody was called brothers. If you were a close relative, you were called a brother. But one thing we know for sure, these brothers were unbelievers until after the resurrection. They saw Christ after he was raised. And from that point on, they became his faithful followers. And as a result, they, along with his mother and the other ladies who had followed Christ and his apostles, stayed in that room and waited. Waited for the Holy Spirit to come, praying all the while they waited for 10 days. Verse 15, in those days, Peter stood up among the brethren. The company of persons was in all about 120. Peter takes the lead. Jesus gave Peter the place of leadership among the apostles. He had told Peter that it was going to be his job to care for his sheep. And so he takes the lead here and presides over some church business. Peter was far from perfect. He was not impeccable in his character, but God still called him to be the leader. And Peter, even after that terrible sin of denying the Lord, he is used by God. Peter repented after his denials, and God Almighty restored him, because God wants to forgive, wants to restore. God demands perfection. But if and when we fail, he will still use us, and he will still forgive us if we only repent. 16. And Peter, he says, brethren, the scripture had to be fulfilled, which the Holy Spirit spoke beforehand by the mouth of David, concerning Judas, who was guide to those who arrested Jesus. Peter reminds everyone that the scripture predicted Judas would betray Jesus. Judas acted of his own free will, and he is accountable for his sin. And yet the scripture had to be fulfilled concerning the betrayal. So we see that God is big enough again and smart enough to know how to use something bad like Judas's betrayal to bring about something good. It doesn't excuse Judas's sin. Just means that God is big enough to know how to use it to bring about something good. But speaking of Judas, Peter says in verse 17, for he was numbered among us and was allotted his share in this ministry. He had a real part in the ministry. Judas preached like everybody else. He baptized like the other apostles. He did miracles like the other apostles. And he was even the treasurer. So he did a lot of religious works. But look it, he was lost. It just goes to show that character, not religious works, is the proof that you are right with God through Jesus Christ. 18. Now this man bought a field with the reward of his wickedness, and falling headlong, he burst open in the middle, and all his bowels gushed out. Pretty graphic and pretty ugly. Peter fills in all the gory details concerning Judas. He hung himself, and after the branch or the rope that he hung himself on broke, his rotting body smashed against a rock and broke open. A very hideous end for a very hideous sinner. Which is why I'm sure God described it so graphically. Because it was ugly, and so was his sin, and so was his end. 19, and it became known to all the inhabitants of Jerusalem, so that the field was called in their language Akeldama, that is, field of blood. It became known. Judas tried to hide his sin. Didn't work. Everyone knew that that was the gruesome end of Judas Iscariot. And everybody knew that the wages of Judas's iniquity was a hideous death, a terrible reputation, and, as far as we can tell, although God is the final judge, in eternity of hell. Verse 20. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation become desolate, and let there be no one to live in it, and his office let another take. In other words, Judas was replaced. He was so privileged to be one of the 12, and yet because of his sin and his refusal to repent, he was replaced. If someone chooses to live in rebellion today, they will be replaced as well. God's kingdom will prevail. Righteousness will prevail. And we can be a part of that victory if we are faithful. But we can also bench ourselves through sin and a lack of repentance and end up watching from the sidelines also. Or worse yet, from the losing team. 21. So one of the men who have accompanied us during all the time that the Lord Jesus went in and out among us, beginning from the baptism of John until the day when he was taken up from us, one of these men must become with us a witness to his resurrection. He lays out the criteria for an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ, the replacement for Judas. There are no apostles of the Lord today, because no one can possibly meet the qualifications of an apostle. An apostle had to be an eyewitness of the things that Christ did and said, and an eyewitness of his resurrection. 23. And they put forward two, Joseph called Barsabbas, who was surnamed Justus, and Matthias. So the apostles chose two possible replacements, two men who met the qualifications. And evidently it seemed like a tie. So they decided they better let the Lord make the final decision. 24, and they prayed and said, Lord, who knowest the hearts of all men, show which one of these two thou hast chosen. Judas had looked good on the outside, but he was full of spiritual rot on the inside. And as a result, these apostles, they want God to choose the one that he knows would do the best job, because he knows the heart of the individual. Very important when making any kind of decision to bring it up to God in prayer and let him help you. And when it comes to establishing relationships and putting your trust in somebody, very important to pray and ask for God's leading. 25. To take the place in this ministry and apostleship from which Judas turned aside to go to his own place. Judas turned aside. He walked away from it. Jesus didn't kick him out. He walked out. And notice the apostles did not presume to know that Jesus went to hell. All they say was, he went to his own place. Now, Judas deserved to go where he went, if the place was hell, because he rejected Jesus Christ. But really, only God knows for sure if he is there or not. One big difference between Christians and non-Christians is that those who are not right with God through Jesus Christ, those who have not found forgiveness through Jesus Christ, go where they deserve to go. And Christians, by God's grace, do not go where they deserve to go. 26, and they cast lots for them. And the lot fell on Matthias, and he was enrolled with the 11 apostles. The apostles are not indwelt with the Holy Spirit at this point, so they're still functioning under Old Testament guidelines for discerning God's will. They cast lots to discover God's will in this matter. Casting lots would be the equivalent of flipping a coin. And that is how God's will was discerned sometimes in the Old Testament. Proverbs 16:33. God says the lot is cast into the lap, but its every decision is from the Lord. And now, chapter 2, and we really shift gears. Verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And we are about to read the account of the beginning of the church age. When the Holy Spirit came into the believers, the church age began. 2. And suddenly, a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting. The Holy Spirit is invisible, but when he arrived, the apostles heard him. He may have been heard by everyone in Jerusalem because it was pretty loud. He did not arrive in the wind. He did not arrive as wind, but his arrival sounded like a windstorm. Verse 3. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire, distributed and resting on each one of them. It appears as if the Holy Spirit arrived in that room, and he appeared in the form of a large mass of fire. And then that mass of fire separated with a flame of fire resting on each person in that room. And verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means to be under the complete control of the Holy Spirit. If somebody is filled with laughter, they are under the control of laughter. If somebody is filled with the Holy Spirit, they're under the control of the Holy Spirit. And to be filled with the Holy Spirit means that the souls of these Christians were overwhelmed by and immersed in the Holy Spirit. In other words, the Holy Spirit had complete control of their mind, their emotions, and their will, their spirit, their soul, their body. Totally. And one of the things that he caused them to do was to speak the Word of God in languages that they didn't even know. In languages that the visitors to Jerusalem from the different parts of the world would understand. 5. Now there were dwelling in Jerusalem Jews, devout men from every nation under heaven. A multitude of Jews from all over the inhabited world were in Jerusalem for the feast of Pentecost. 6. And at this sound, the multitude came together, and they were bewildered, because each one heard them speaking in his own language. The apostles all began speaking in languages that they never learned. So that was part of the miracle, but a miracle occurred in the hearing as well, because all the people gathered there heard the apostles speaking in the languages that they spoke. So there was a miracle in the speaking, for sure, but there was also a miracle in the hearing. Notice 7. And they were amazed and wondered, saying, are not all these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each one of us in his own native language? Parthians and Medes and Elamites and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabians. We hear them telling in our own tongues the mighty works of God. The people gathered were from 3 different continents, and they all spoke different languages. And then, within those languages, they spoke different dialects. And here you have these apostles from up north Hick Galilee, as it was thought of. They could barely speak their own language, are speaking in all these different languages and all these different dialects. This was an unmistakable miracle. And look at the people's reaction in verse 12. And all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" They had no idea what was going on. They were confused, to say the least. 13. But others mocking said, "They are filled with new wine." They thought, "You're drunk. They're a bunch of drunks." And I can kind of see where they got that idea. A drunk is usually more talkative and more bold than normal. And a person who's filled with the Holy Spirit is bold and often talks an awful lot about the Word of God and Jesus too. So I can see why the crowd was a little confused. But then look at 14. Peter, once again, taking the lead, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words." The same Peter who backed off from a little servant girl and denied Christ 3 times now stares down this huge crowd of mockers and preaches the word of God to those who are laughing at him. What boldness! What made the difference? Why the big change in Peter? Number one, Jesus is alive. He's back from the dead. Peter has seen him many times. That's one huge difference. And second, Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit. And when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be bold. Bold for the Lord. 15. Peter says, "For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, since it is only the 3rd hour of the day." Not many men would get drunk at 9 in the morning. Certainly no one who takes God serious would be in that condition, especially at 9 o'clock in the morning. 16. "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." This thing that has everyone amazed isn't the result of drunkenness. Peter says it's the fulfillment of prophecy. 17. Here it is. "And in the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." The last days mentioned by Peter here refer to the time between the ascension of Christ and the return of Christ, the entire church age, this mystery kingdom. Visions and dreams were common ways for God to reveal himself to his people before we had the written word of God, the complete written word of God. Now, it's still possible God can speak to your heart through nature, through anything, dreams, visions, but it is important to remember that the word of God must be used to discern whether any experience is from God or not. And if God speaks to you through a vision or a dream, that's a personal revelation between you and him. That's his private revelation. That's not for the whole church. The scriptures contain general revelation for all of us. Verse 18. Continuing on with this prophecy, Peter quotes it, "Yea, and on my men servants and my maid servants in those days, I shall pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. On my men servants and maid servants." God will receive, and God blesses, and God uses everyday people, even those who are servants. God has no favorites. The only requirement to be blessed by God and used by God is to draw close to Him through Jesus Christ. 19. And I will show wonders in heavens above. According to, I mentioned this maybe a couple months ago, according to several ancient writers, historical records that I came across, there was a comet that hung over Jerusalem, and it took the form of a flaming sword. And that was before Rome destroyed the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD, according to the prophecy given by Jesus Christ. So that's certainly a sign that occurred in the heavens. And then the next part of verse 19, it says, and signs on the earth beneath. Signs on the earth beneath, that would include the miracles of Christ and the miracles done by the apostles, which began right here on the day of Pentecost, which prove that their message was true, that Jesus is the Messiah and Jesus is the Savior, and that the Jews were guilty of killing God's Son. Their miracles were signs. This was all true. Verse 19, the last part of it, and signs on the earth beneath, and blood and fire and vapor of smoke. And the blood refers to the blood of many Israelites who were slaughtered by Rome, and many Christians who were slaughtered by Israelites, and many Christians who were slaughtered by Rome. And the fire refers to how the city went up in flames, the city of Jerusalem. And all these things were acts of God, and they all came to pass before 70 AD. And we'll stop right there, and we'll pick up our study in verse 20 of Acts chapter 2 next time. Until then, so long, everyone.